Hello, and welcome to the Albuquerque Theatre Guild's weekly podcast. I'm Mike Miller, and I'm your host. Thank you for joining us today. This is where you'll hear what's happening in performance in Albuquerque. We keep a running calendar of shows opening and closing and talk to interesting people involved in entertainment here. This week, we're talking with Brendan McCall, the director of As You Like It for the Vortex Theatre's annual Shakespeare on the Plaza. But before we do that, let's take a look at the calendar. Death Trap opened on May 18th and runs through June 10th at the Oxdog. West End Productions Da opened May 18th at the North Fourth Performance Space and continues through June 10th. The Full Monty opened at Albuquerque Little Theater and appears there until June 17th. And Moon Over Buffalo opened at the Adobe and runs through June 17th. Mother Roads Around the World in Less Than 80 Days, The True Adventures of Elizabeth Bisland and Nellie Bly, is at the Keshet Center for the Arts through June 19th. The Adobe Theater will audition actors for Mornings at 7 on June 2nd and 3rd, and the Growing Stage will audition for How I Became a Pirate, the musical, on June 2nd. And now, join me in welcoming our special guest, Brendan McCall.
We're talking today with director Brendan McCall, who is directing one of the Shakespeare on the Plazas, As You Like It. Got the right one?
That's right.
Shakespeare has so many comedies that it's easy to confuse them.
And some would call this more of a romance than a comedy, which just lends a added wrinkle to the categorization.
Yes, yes, it does. So it opens, you're playing in repertoire with...
The Merry Wives of Windsor.
The Merry Wives of Windsor. Thank you. I just went blank there for a sudden.
No problem.
Had a good conversation with Dennis the other day. You open first on the 8th of June, is that correct?
That's correct.
Good. And you have how many people in your cast?
We have 15 actors, including one musician.
Ah, so you've doubled up somewhere.
We have. I think there's maybe 25 or 26 roles total, but we've edited the script a little bit to make it a little more lean and also had a number of double casting within the show as well as some non-traditional casting.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay. Well, we can talk about that in a minute. Let's tell our audience a little bit about your background. I did a little snooping before you came in, and I have to say, based on what I found, you look a little younger than that. So,
well, it's very kind of you to say. I guess it's all the green tea and the yoga and the, other lifestyle choices that help keep a little vim and vigor in my veins.
Uh-huh. Well, hopefully there's some blood in there, too.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, okay.
Yes, indeed.
Well, tell us about your background. You've got quite an impressive background of stuff that you have done internationally.
It's very kind of you to say. Well, I'm born in California. I come from the San Francisco Bay Area, and I moved to New York City in 1990, where I lived for 18 years. And I was working there professionally as a actor, director, and choreographer and dancer. And I would also tour from time to time with my work or with teaching. And through one of those opportunities, I had the chance to leave the United States in 2008, and I've been living abroad ever since. So I've been living in Turkey and Australia, and I'm currently based in Oslo, Norway.
Oh, in Norway?
Yeah.
Nice, nice. A little cold.
Well, for this California kid, it's definitely a change. I mean, I'm grateful for my mother's roots in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That helps. But it's definitely not just the cold, but the darkness throughout the winter, which can be a little challenging.
I would guess so. My son was a foreign exchange student to Norway back before his high school senior year.
Yeah.
That's been quite some time now, but
indeed.
We have a little inkling of what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes in December, January, the sun will rise after maybe 9:30 in the morning, and then set a little bit after 3 p.m. So it's a little, takes some acclimation in terms of just the constant darkness as well as the constant snow and cold.
Right. I can see that. I have enough difficulty here in Albuquerque with daylight.
That's right. Sure.
Regular time. So, As You Like It, I played Corin in that Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
It was a very fun show. The guy who played Touchstone is an attorney, an IP attorney, actually, back in the Northeast in Boston. And he and I are still good friends in communication. So this particular show has some meaning for me. And while the memory fades after a while, because I've done several others since then, it was for me a fun show. Mm. We did it at the Old North in Boston, I think, is where we put that up. The Old North or the Old South, whatever the church is. I think it's the Old North Church. Anyway, my Boston audience now is going to...
Going to get a lot of calls for that.
Write letters. Yeah.
A lot of emails.
One of them is a very famous one. The other one doesn't exist, I think. I'm not sure. But in any case, that was a production that I have a fondness for this particular show.
Yeah.
And for Merry Wives, which is one that I did also. Every time I hear that a show that I've been in is going to be done, I either want to see it or I want to stay completely away from it.
Mm.
Now, with your background, I'm thinking I probably want to come see it.
So I certainly hope so.
Tell me about your show, your version of this particular show. What are the challenges and you know, what are the successes and what are we going to look for?
Mm. Well, it's a fascinating play because Shakespeare wrote it the same year, 1599, as he wrote Hamlet, Julius Caesar, and Henry V. So talk about an amazing year for one playwright, but also I think some of the profound questions about life permeate As You Like It, even though it's technically a story about love and a story about people falling in love. There's still a lot of questioning about how do men behave and how should they behave, and how do women behave and how should they behave, which I think is very topical for the times we're living in now. So for our version, I was looking for some kind of recognizable and accessible period to help bring the play to life, mm-hmm. rather than keeping it in 16th century. So I chose the 60s, kind of on a whim, thinking, I wonder what the parallels would be between then and now. And it's startling how not much has changed in America between 1968 and 2018. I mean, you have civil unrest within the society between African Americans and white Americans. You have a growing possible conflict of war in Southeast Asia. You have a women's movement growing in force and in public voice. You have a president, which is unpopular, who disregards all of his journalistic critics as fake news. You have all these things, and yet you also have incredible grassroots movements that change our society for the better. So you have all this stuff happening within the same time, and I thought that sounds like a good fit to help us not only get access to this, you know, 400-something-year-old play, but also maybe understand our own time better by looking back to a recent recognizable portion of our modern collective history.
So there are some things that are sort of universal in theme. That it doesn't make any difference whether it's the 16th century or the 20th or 21st century.
Well, I think that's a testimony to why these plays continue to be appealing to see, to stage, to read, is that even though there is this distance of time, it seems that Shakespeare, like other artists, tapped into something that is beyond time in a way. Of course, there are some jokes which made it to the cutting room floor because I don't think they would make sense to except the most devout scholar today. And we've changed some of the songs in the play, replacing them with live versions of some 60s songs that I think our audiences will recognize.
Hmm.
The costume is also very much recognizable from this kind of Woodstock, Golden Gate Park, Summer of Love thing, which are beautifully designed by Laurie Oliver.
Ah.
So there's a lot of things that we think bring out the pleasure and the ease of understanding the play, so we don't get distracted by people talking in a language that maybe is unusual for everyday ears.
Growing up in theater, my parents did theater the whole time, so I've got a bit of a background in it, but they didn't do a lot of Shakespeare. When I was growing up, it was felt that Shakespeare's language was a little too difficult for modern audiences. But as I got into it and learned, I found that if it's done right, it is really accessible.
It's absolutely
kind of like operas for me. You know, give me a good opera and I really enjoy it. Give me a bad opera and it's like tedium just to sit through it. And Shakespeare is pretty much the same way. We have some very capable actors, I think, here in Albuquerque who have done some work on Shakespeare for quite a while. There was a Shakespeare company for a while that did some good work. But it's all about casting the right people, in both for character and to be able to deliver the language so that we can understand it.
Absolutely.
So from that standpoint, your 15 actors are not all leads, are they?
Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. I mean, I think the part of the brilliance of Shakespeare was that he was not only a playwright, he was also an actor and a theater manager. Like, he created opportunities for actors to play. So whether you're in just two scenes or whether you're in 20, your moment and your character and your dialogue tends to be pretty fantastic in any Shakespeare play.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a variety of duration that the actors are on stage, but I don't think there's any small parts.
So it works very much as an ensemble then?
Absolutely.
Who are playing your characters, your front characters?
Well, I mean, I think you can look that up on the website for the festival, but we have a wonderful cast of characters, because I don't want to just go through the cast list.
I'll let you off with that.
No, it's just to... because I don't think that's really that important of a question.
Well, it is only from this standpoint in that a lot of the actors are recognizable to our audience, and that will create a ticket sale or two for you.
Okay.
But
it's a free Shakespeare, and it's done every summer for 4 weekends in repertory with a second Shakespeare, which is also free. So we're not doing it for... money or for profit. It's more of a community service.
Give back to the community.
So I think if I were to single out a single actor or even a handful of them, I feel like I have to go through not only the entire cast, but the entire design team and the entire technical staff. And then we'd be talking about 40 people for each production. And so I think it's really about...
This is the internet. We have time.
No, I know, but I'm saying with the internet, you can just go to the website, shakespeareontheplaza.org.
Fair enough.
And you can look for all the contributing artists, because whether they are hanging our sound equipment or designing our beautiful set, whether it's in one scene or 25, everyone in this play is really vital to contributing to its success.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's a very admirable way to look at it.
It's just my experience.
Everybody is as important.
Yeah,
because
if, to quote one of my favorite writers, Michael Connelly, either everyone counts or no one counts.
Right.
So I think everyone in this production, we need everyone there. And if we have one actor who's maybe only in two scenes not be present, we can't do the play.
Mm-hmm.
If we have all the ingredients there but no lighting, we can't do the play. If we have all the ingredients there but we don't have the live music, we can't really do the play. So it's about everyone participating together, which I think is a wonderful thing for Albuquerque, too, because we're trying to take away the boundary of money. We're trying to take away the boundary of even a particular theater building, which might have a limit of how many people can attend. We're just saying anyone who wants to come within the state of New Mexico, who wants to come to Albuquerque this summer, we'd love to have you there. We'd love to see you.
And we're going to welcome them to come on. What is the story about? What is this, As You Like It?
Well, I think it's a love story as well as a story about families, because on the one hand, you have a lot of rivalry between, within the court, between the, in our version, a duke and a duchess. You also have a lot of rivalry between these two brothers, one who is older and is the heir to the family fortune, but is maybe not the best person for the job, for that power and responsibility. And then you have a younger person who has just as much blood and just as much flesh from his parents, but is not the heir, therefore has no opportunities and no future. Of course, he is more beloved by the court. He is more noble in character, even though he has less status and less power. Similarly, the two women also have a similar rivalry and lack of access to agency. And so they all go into the forest on this kind of quest for freedom, love, identity. And through that, they start to question, what is love? What is the role of men and women in relationship? And it's it has some darker philosophical tones here and there, but primarily it's a romance ending in a lot of wedding bells, a lot of laughter, kisses, reuniting of family members that have been estranged. There's a lot of changed views about how men and women should act. It's extremely witty. And some of it is very much within that poetic Shakespearean frequency, but there's also a lot of scenes and dialogue which could be written today. I mean, it's very accessible. I don't think it's as brooding as, say, Hamlet. It's not as gory as Titus Andronicus. It's not as maybe inaccessible as King John. It's really something that I think it's a frolic. It's a it's a summer romance.
Right. Okay. Good. Witty and comedy and romance.
Absolutely.
Sounds like the thing to have on the plaza in summer in Albuquerque.
Well, especially in the summer, and I think, you know, there's so much going on that might stir up people's views on any number of subjects, and I think there's definitely a role for arts to play in that and to attend to that and discuss that in a kind of exploratory manner. But I also think there's something to be said for having art serve as a way to release and to bring joy and bring pleasure. And for all of our references to some political or social ideas in As You Like It, ultimately it's just a lot of fun. I mean, the people in the cast are dynamic. The set is beautiful. The costumes are exquisite. Hopefully the direction will be appealing to our local audiences. It seems to be going well so far. Everyone seems to be having a good time. And yeah, I think it's just really a great excuse to get out of the house. Spend a night downtown at the plaza, get a drink, go to a late dinner, and check us out.
Mm-hmm. So you're based in Norway now.
Yes.
How did you end up in Albuquerque directing As You Like It?
Well, I want to give a shout out to Working Classroom because I worked with them starting in 2000 and taught a number of workshops in Albuquerque through them. I also acted with a company that's no longer around called Tin Box back in 1995. Mm-hmm. And I directed for Working Classroom in, I want to say 2006, might have been 2007, Yamaya's Belly at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. And so I've been in New Mexico, I think, 9 or 10 times in the past. And my mother and stepfather recently retired here last year. Uh-huh. Which, as you can imagine, they don't fly to Norway all the time to see what I'm doing, so I try to visit them as often as I could.
Sure.
And one of my former mentors from New York City lives in Santa Fe, so I thought, oh, well, I'd like to apply, and that would be interesting to see if I could get that gig, because as a freelancer, if I can combine some travel to see new things or see loved ones along with some artistic work, that's always a bonus.
Right.
So I was fortunate to get the job. I'd never worked with the Vortex before, never seen their work. So it was both a leap of faith on both of our parts. And I'm really glad that I had the chance to do it.
Good. Well, we look forward to seeing it.
Thanks.
Brendan McCall, thank you for being with us.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
That does it for this week's show. Join us again in the weeks to come when we bring you up to date on the Albuquerque Theater Guild performance calendar and talk with other interesting people in Albuquerque's theater world. If you're enjoying our programs, please like us, comment, and share with your friends on other social media platforms. Until we're together again, go see some live performance art, and we'll look for you right back here next time. Thank you.